Hi again, everyone. It's Ting Tar, the Palliative Care Reg at BHRUT, and today I have Dr. Mark Howard with me.
Hello.
And he is one of the palliative care consultants at St. Francis Hospice, but he's been joining us a day a week at Queen's, so you might have seen him milling around. And today he is joining us for an episode about hospices, and it's a bit of a myth-busting episode. The common misconceptions that we hear, and we're also hoping to provide you with a better understanding of what hospices can and can't do. So a good place to start is probably with one of the most common things we hear. Hospices are a place you only go to die.
Yes, that's certainly a frequent misconception that I hear. I often speak to families and to patients, and they say once I get through the doors of the hospice or once I cross that threshold, that it's just a one-way street and it means I'm going to die and that's a done deal. But in fact, what we know from our statistics and also nationally from hospices around the country is that around almost up to half of the people that are admitted to the hospice will actually go home again or go to a nursing home. So for us, it's about 45% at St. Francis, which is in Havering Attibower.
Yeah, which is a huge surprise to lots of people, patients and staff alike, I think. Another misconception I would say is that because people thinking it is a place you just go to die, it's a very, very dark, dingy kind of place, and it's just death hovering in the air.
And actually, it's the opposite a lot of the time. The feedback that we get from patients and families about the environment, and that's one of the special qualities of the hospice, is the environment is just so different compared to, say, a hospital ward or a nursing home. We have lovely gardens, lovely buildings, you know, it's in nature, it's very quiet, it's very peaceful, it's very relaxed. We have a lot more staff in terms of nursing ratios, so we also have a lot more time to spend with our patients. So the pace is slower, and it's not the sort of frantic, it doesn't have that frantic energy that you would have in an average hospital ward.
And you know, even though the pace is slower, I think there's still a lot of intensity of work that goes on, and we have the opportunity to like dive a bit deeper into people's symptoms, be that pain or psychological symptoms. And we often hear patients and family remark, you know, almost immediately, and some people have heard describe it as getting that hospice hug on arrival. They just sort of sense that vibe that things are just so much more supportive and less chaotic. Another kind of myth that follows on from hospices being a place of death is that people can just stay forever and ever once they arrive at a hospice, like a nursing home.
Again, that's another misconception that people have. We have a waiting list a lot of the time, so people have to wait until a bed becomes available for them. And for that reason, because there's a demand on a limited number of beds, it means that we can't, although we'd like to, keep our patients for as long as they needed to stay, we can't always offer that to people because we're not a long stay unit. So we like to keep our admissions short if need be, and the average length of stay in the hospice is about 2 weeks, give or take. So if it looks like a patient who may be thought to be dying once they come into the hospice, we might control their symptoms and they might stabilize and their time might be a bit longer than we initially thought, and in that situation we need to have a discussion with them about whether it was appropriate for them to go home again with a package of care or to go to a nursing home.
And we find it really helpful when colleagues that refer in, be that GPs in the community or hospital teams, to just sort of lay the ground for patients and family, and just explain that it's not an indefinite place of care and things will be reviewed if, fortunately, you know, the patient picks up a little bit or plateaus. And then another huge one is that hospices kill people or they hasten death.
As a lot of us know, it's not legal to speed things up in the UK, and that's definitely not what hospice is about. We definitely do not kill people, but we pride ourselves on good holistic care, not looking after only just the physical, but also on the psychological and the emotional and the spiritual aspects of people's care. And we pride ourselves on good symptom control as well.
And there are studies out there that show that good palliative care can, you know, actually lengthen people's lives. Another thing is, if palliative care or hospice care is involved, then that really, you know, it's black and white. It's one or the other. It precludes people from having further hospital attendances or interventions.
And again, that's not true either. So a lot of the time we will work in synergy with other professionals, like community professionals like GPs or other hospital consultants like oncology teams. We're able to help the patient and the family navigate the complex healthcare system and make sure that they get the right input at the right time. So just because you've come to the hospice, it doesn't mean that you are not able to go to the hospital again. We would often encourage that for patients if we feel it's appropriate and if we think it will help them.
Absolutely. And then expectations is another thing. People might have the unfortunate expectation that the hospice will fix everything. Their pain will be 100% like better.
Yeah, with regard to pain, and pain is one of the main reasons, well, it's a very common reason for a patient to come into the hospice. We, by and large, most people who are under our care will have their pain very well managed. But we can't always guarantee that they're going to have 100% pain relief. And sometimes we have to be clear with them when they have that expectation that they're going to be completely pain-free after a couple of days. Well, a lot of the time, pain is quite complex. It has these different domains that we know about. It might have an emotional component, might have a psychological component. It might need more than one kind of painkiller to control it, because it might be caused by different mechanisms in the person's body. So for that reason, what we try to promise people is that we'll manage their pain a lot better.
And just to touch on very briefly, we talked about sort of pain, and people assume that hospices often are really focused on patients with cancer, but actually there's loads of other people that we look after aside from patients with cancer.
That's correct, yeah. And we have a widening access program at the hospice where we're trying to reach other patients who are difficult to reach. For example, people from black and minority ethnic backgrounds, people from who are homeless, people with learning disabilities, and also people who don't have a cancer diagnosis, but they might have heart failure, or they might have a problem with their lungs, or they might have liver problems or renal problems. So we have teams in the hospice that are always trying to reach these patients more.
And then also, people often aren't aware actually of all the things that hospices can provide outside of the inpatient unit. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so most of the work that we do, it might surprise you to hear, is actually done in the community, so in people's homes. Last year we had around 400 admissions to the inpatient unit, but that's only part of the work that we do. We were also looking after, at the same time, we were looking after between 2,000 and 3,000 people in the community. So it's a credit to our community teams that they were able to continue with that during the pandemic. So these are the specialist nurses, the palliative care CNSs that call and visit people at home, but also our hospice at home team that offers care to people at home when they need it. And not just the nursing team, but also our other allied health professionals in counselling, in physiotherapy, occupational therapy, in pastoral care, in complementary therapy. They're all working as well with patients in the community. And besides the community work, we also have a vibrant Pemberton Place Day Hospice, it's called, which has been on hold, not surprisingly, since the pandemic. But it was a day hospice where patients could come, spend the day and attend groups like an exercise group, a breathlessness management group, an arts group, and just socialise and just relax and enjoy some tea and meals and talk to other patients in similar situations.
Yeah, I think people don't realise that kind of community link that hospices have with their local environment. And another aspect of that is fundraising.
Yes, and what most people don't realise is that most of our money comes from fundraising. So the hospice isn't run from NHS money. Only 28% of the money that we get is from the NHS. The rest we have to fundraise ourselves. And that's very common for hospices around the country. They will have different percentages of funding from the NHS, but a lot of the time they'd have to rely on their fundraising team to organise events, to raise money from the various shops that we have, the charity shops. We also have to rely on donations from people. So it's really, really important so that people can get the best care that we fundraise as much as we can.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know that till I joined a hospice. So yeah, pop down to those shops, people, when they open. can you just sort of illustrate for us then who are the right kind of people to refer and can benefit from a hospice?
So anyone who has a life-limiting condition, can be referred to the hospice by their GP or their hospital doctor or the district nurse. And it's not just for the patients, but it's also for the families. And we also offer bereavement services to families of patients who are under our care as well. It's not, you know, the hospice is not just for people who might be dying. It's also for people who are in need of symptom control, for example, or in need of counselling or support from our other teams. We like to focus on planning ahead for the future. So hoping for the best, but also planning as well. And advanced care planning is a major part of holistic care, and we know that it improves outcomes for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's all been really, really useful, Mark. Hopefully we've addressed some of the very common misconceptions and myths. But if you're ever unsure or you're not sure if a hospice referral is the right thing, then just talk to us. We're always available. Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.